This is HPR episode 2542 entitled, How I Helped My Dad Run a Static Website Using SparkleShare. It is hosted by Clacky and is about 12 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, in which I describe my setup on SparkleShare and GitLab pages to maintain a static website.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi, I'm Clacky. So I'm on my usual bank run. So it's time to record something while I have the time. I'm going to take a look at my other phone here because I'm an idiot who carries two phones around. Let's see, browsers. There. So I go to my microblog stream, tag HPR app. And I'll see here, Bitcoin, no, not for now. Cantor's normalization, I'll need to prep that a bit more. Thought I had something good here. Here it is. Let me see, how I helped my dad run a static website using SparkleShare. That's a good one, I think I can freehand. So, my dad is the person in my parents' church who knows how to computer, as we say. And so he's responsible for running the website for the church. I helped him set it up a long time ago, and at that time we used, what's the name of that? It was a static web host. It was called like Meme Cluster or something like that. It was a free website, and if you didn't have too much traffic, then they let you run that for free. Then, a couple of years ago, at that point he used that with, I think we used FileZilla to just FTP up the stuff. But then, it had a bit of downtime, so I started looking at an alternative solution. So I figured, hey, there's SparkleShare and there's all these software as a service services now. So why not just put this thing in SparkleShare, and every time he changes a file, SparkleShare will sync that to a Git repo somewhere, and that would automatically deploy things somewhere. So I was going to try this with Heroku, but it turned out that the way SparkleShare addressed Git didn't quite work with Heroku. You need to put an SSH colon slash slash reference and not just host colon blah. And when you do with the SSH colon slash slash the real URL format for a Git destination, then you need to provide an absolute directory at the end. And maybe it's possible to do that with Heroku, maybe it was possible then, but I didn't figure it out at the time, and I felt that I should be doing this on a freer service anyway. So then I looked into what Red Hat was doing with Orange Cloud and OpenShift. So Red Hat has this product OpenShift that has changed quite a lot over the years. Back then it was probably OpenShift version 1. But basically that is what Heroku did, but generalized. So you get a virtual host somewhere, and you push to a Git repo, and that creates some kind of deployable package, and it puts that onto your virtual host, and off you go. And then it has built-in detection and build packages for all kinds of things. So you just don't configure anything. You just put your Ruby on Rails app there. It will discover that it's Ruby on Rails and will run it properly. Or if you have a PHP app, you put that in there. It will discover that it's a PHP app and start it up. Or in the case of PHP, there's almost nothing to start up. You just put the things there. So in my dad's case, it was just a static website. So it was basically just, okay, this is a PHP app with no PHP in it. And that's a static site, and we just put it up there. So that went by. We had one staging repo and one published repo, and that's just two Git repos. We didn't do any serious Git stuff with that. It's just two directories. They're both managed by SparkleShare. He drags files into or edits files in the staging repo first, and then he looks on the website. Yeah, looks fine. And then he just copies them over to the other one, and he doesn't have to know anything about Git. It works pretty well. But then a while back, OpenShift and Red Hat changed their policy on how much you could get for free and so on. So I wanted to move off OpenShift. And I looked around, and someone suggested GitHub Pages, and I thought, yeah, that would work, but I don't really want to support GitHub unless it's absolutely necessary, because I want to support free software. That's why I was an OpenShift to begin with. So there's an obvious choice. If someone recommends GitHub, then you better just check, okay, is GitLab offering the exact same thing? And yes, it is. There's GitLab Pages. So we put the thing up on GitLab Pages. And it hasn't been entirely pain-free. On GitLab Pages, the way it works is you push to your repo and then you set up the CI flow. And in our case, it's just basically copy these files from source to destination. Done. That's the build process. But still, there's a step that fails. You run your pages job, and that's just copying the files. And then there's the pages deploy, and that's, I don't know if I can even edit that. I haven't tried, but that's basically predefined by GitLab, and that's what takes this package and puts it on their host. And that sometimes just randomly fails. My father will mail me, hey, I got this email. He says something failed. Is this a problem? And then I look at it. No, it already succeeded again 20 minutes later when you edited the next file. So now my advice to him is, if you change something and you don't see it on the website, just make some inconsequential change somewhere else, and hopefully that will go through. And it also varies a bit how fast changes go through. So he will change a file, it will git push, SparkleShare will automatically git push the change, and then I can look in the GitLab CI pages, because yeah, we're doing this in a project on GitLab and we are both users. So my father will mail me and say something is up, and then I'll just go in with my user and I can see that, okay, this job started, and then it copied the files, and then it finished. And it varies quite a lot. It can take several minutes, or sometimes it just takes a couple of seconds. All right, that took care of the banking stuff. On my way back home. So yeah, I was saying that GitLab Pages has been working pretty well. There are some hiccups sometimes, but I've instructed my dad on how to work around them. You just modify some files, push again, and then it probably works. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we both got an email. I'm the primary owner of the test repo, and dad is the primary owner of the production repo or project. And we both got an email saying, hey, you need to verify your pages. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to do that sometime. Not now, I'm busy. And then the other day I got an email, okay, you didn't verify your pages, so now we unpublished everything. So I just got in there, okay, actually, you just add a text record to your DNS. So that took 5 minutes once I got around to it. And since then it's been running fine. And then I mailed my dad and I said, hey, I finally took care of this thing. And he said, yeah, I received that email 1 minute after I received the email that my production repo had failed to verify. So what that is, you go just into your GitLab pages settings, and then it says, if you want to verify, you need to add this text record. It's pretty clear. And then you just add that text record, and then you tell it, yeah, verified, and then everything is fine. I don't know why that's necessary, though, because, I mean, if my DNS is pointing to their server, I think that's a pretty clear indication that I intend for my domain to be handled by them. But I guess they have the reasons. Basically, that's it. It's been pretty easy. I did all the setup on my dad's computer, of course, so I have to get out the public key from SparkleShare and put that into his GitLab user, and then just follow some pretty basic instructions on how to set up GitLab pages, and that's basically it. I'm using, but not actually making use of, I tried to tell my dad that, hey, this would be a neat idea, but he's fine with how things are now, using a site generator. So it actually runs the site generator every time, but there's nothing for it to do except copy the file. So the way we're using it currently, the site generator is basically a glorified copy. But you could do that as well. I'm using Jekyll. And there's a thousand others if you prefer some language other than Python. That's a whole episode on its own. I'm not going to dig into that now. So until next time, this has been Hacker Public Radio. Na 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 na. You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binweb.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share-Alike 3.0 license. Ba 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 ba. Ba 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 ba. Bum 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 bum.